I mean, the earth is vast. We are infinitely variable. And we just need to trust each other in order to get this work done. And then launch into that dazzling part of our existence that we've been waiting for millennia. Turning to today's reading, which is continuing our interlude. We'll get back to Alice very shortly, or maybe it's a slight optimistic short. Our interlude, Marx's 18th Brumaire, and also Emmanuel Wallerstein's. I mean, we'll discuss why I think that's necessary, but important to do right now in this moment. Before returning to the chapter, Poisonous Pedagogy in Alice Miller's For Your Own Good. We're reading Marx's 18th Brumaire and Emmanuel Wallerstein's Modern World System 4, Centrist Liberalism Triumphant, 1789 to 1914. In order to see the origins of the modern bureaucratic nation state in the fixed determination of statesmen to repress us, we the people, it is a new invention. And as long as it is on us, we cannot grow into our infinite expansiveness. Today, Marx shows us a power tactic that once grasped, they never let go of. And they don't, I've been sensing for some time that they were very much hoping we would not discuss this tactic, Society of December 10. So take it in. This is a globally utilized tactic. He gives Louis Bonaparte credit for it, for the invention of it. And I don't know if that's been confirmed since then. It'd be interesting to confirm that. Last week, we introduced it with these words. The shadow state needs shadow troops with shadow orders that they execute. When power wants to operate extra-legally, they convene impromptu December 10 societies. Earlier in the book, because we were reading actually the conclusion of the 18th Brumaire when he discusses or refers to the Society of December 10. And so we backed up. And so earlier in the book, he describes the Society of December 10 in this way. Quote from Karl Marx, "This society dates from the year 1849. And my interjection, let's not forget from our Good Threes analysis that 1848 was the first world revolution. We'll delve more into this when we read our excerpt from Wallerstein's most recent. Continuing, on the pretext of founding a benevolent society, the lumpen proletariat, and by the way, that is an ugly word, Marx's unfortunate use of which fits with his utilitarianism. Continuing, the lumpen proletariat of Paris had been organized into secret sections, each section being led by Bonapartist agents with a Bonapartist general at the head of the whole, alongside decayed roués with, and that's like rogues, roués with dubious means of subsistence and of dubious origin, alongside ruined and adventurous offshoots of the bourgeoisie, were vagabonds, discharged soldiers, discharged jailbirds, escaped galley slaves, swindlers, mountebanks, lazzaroni, pickpockets, tricksters, gamblers, maquereaux, brothel keepers, porters, literati, organ grinders, rag pickers, knife grinders, tinkers, and beggars. In short, the whole indefinite, disintegrated mass thrown hither and thither, which the French term la bohème. From this kindred element, Bonaparte, and they don't fit neatly into the notion of class, does it? But he had to impose that on us. Well, we'll get back to that whole question of why Did we have that ideology imposed on us? From this kindred element, Bonaparte formed the core of the Society of December 10, a benevolent society, quote unquote, insofar as, like Bonaparte, all its members felt the need of benefiting themselves at the expense of the laboring nation. This Bonaparte, who constitutes himself chief of the lumpen proletariat, who here alone rediscovers in mass form the interests which he personally pursues, who recognizes in this scum, and forgive me for using this terminology, it's unnecessarily pejorative. But Marx had these blind spots. What can I say? Offal. Refuse. Well, he's not shy about stating his opinion on them, is he? Refuse of all classes, continuing with Karl Marx, the only class upon whom he can base himself unconditionally is the real Bonaparte. No, he doesn't have to play any roles with his people. The real Bonaparte. The Bonaparte, how do you pronounce this? Phrase. Sans phrase, without the BS is what that means. An old crafty roué. He conceives the historical life of the nations and their performances of state as comedy in the most vulgar sense, as a masquerade where the grand costumes, words, and postures merely serve to make the pettiest knavery. In his Society of December 10, he assembles 10,000 rascally fellows who are to play the part of the people as Nick Bottom, and that's from A Midsummer Night's Dream, as Nick Bottom, that of the lion, at a moment when the bourgeoisie itself played the most complete comedy, but in the most serious manner in the world. And don't you wonder sometimes when, because we know the political stage is theater. Don't you wonder, like, which of these people take themselves serious and which don't? Well, that's what Marx is talking about here, you know. He's saying that Louis Napoleon doesn't take that mess serious. He knows what's really going on. He knows who really determines things. And the official guys are playing the roles, and some take it serious, some don't. As a masquerade where the grand costumes, words, and postures merely serve to make the pettiest knavery. In his Society of December 10. Boy, I backed up too much, didn't I? He assembles 10,000 rascally fellows who are to play the part of the people as Nick Bottom, that of the lion. At a moment when the bourgeoisie itself played the most complete comedy, but in the most serious manner in the world, without infringing any of the pedantic conditions of French dramatic etiquette. He's so mean. And was itself half deceived. That's a good way of putting it, half deceived, half convinced of the solemnity of its own performance of state. The adventurer who took the comedy as plain comedy was bound to win. And that's a really, I think, astute observation about power. Those folks, in our case, 10,000 global guys, who take the comedy as comedy or take the charade as charade, are bound to win over those who are struggling to actually. And that's why it's so disgusting, this whole false reality they give us, just for us to sort of, you know, tread water endlessly our entire lives, effectively wasted, because we aren't wrestling with the real conditions, the real factors that are determining things.